You're listening to A World of Black Writers from the Hurston Wright Foundation.
Hi, I'm Crystal Davis, a member of the board of directors for the Zora Neale Hurston Richard Wright Foundation. Our guest for today in this edition is Egoni Barrett, a 2017 Hurston Wright Legacy Award nominee for his debut novel, Black Ass, which was published by Gray Wolf Press. Egoni, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And congrats on your Hurston Wright nomination.
Thank you. That was great news when I got it.
So, Black Ass is your debut novel, but you have been a short story writer previously. You published a collection of short stories, correct?
Yes, actually two collections of short stories.
Why did you decide to double away from your short story work and write a novel?
Well, I didn't decide to, as you put it, double away from my... At some point, I'd written two short story collections, and at some point I felt I wanted to try something new, you know, try a new challenge. And the novel felt like something new.
So for the readers out there who are fans of yours or who are being newly introduced to your work, can you explain to us what your debut novel, Black Ass, is about? I know in some reviews, some people have called it sort of like a fictional, satirical look at race and culture in a part of Africa that they probably haven't traveled to before.
It's a story about Lagos. It's a story about race. It's also a story about unemployment among young people in Nigeria. It's a story about how young people carve spaces for themselves within society. So it's a story about many things, but the easiest way to enter the story, I guess, is through the racial. Yeah, but it's a story about many other things, which any good novel should be about. It can't be just about one thing.
What was your inspiration for this book? Was it based on like your own personal experiences or experiences of your friends or family?
It was based on things I'd observed myself. It was also based on stories I'd read. Sometimes in writing a novel, you think you know why you're writing it, and only to discover that you're writing it for another reason, other you know, subconscious reasons for tackling fiction. And so when I sat down 3-4 years ago to write this book, I thought I knew why I was writing it. I thought I knew, you know, what experiences I was basing the book on. But then through the course of writing the book, I was re-educated about, you know, where the book came from.
Now, I know your protagonist in the book has a lot of different bad and good things that happens to him along the way of his sort of like transformation or even metamorphosis. I know some people have compared your work to that. Did you do any research or kind of talk to any people in addition to your own imagination for this book to help you like bring along the plot and the storyline and the character development?
Yes, I did actually. I mean, there were many reasons for speaking to people. So for example, there's a character in the book, a minor character, who's a food seller. And so for that character, I spoke to someone. I wanted to know what it was like feeding hungry men. And so I even got a direct quote from this food seller, which was, you know, a hungry man is an angry man. You know. So, yes, so for very different reasons. I mean, I didn't actually go speak with any white person per se, because the truth is that this character was a black person who woke up white. And I didn't know anybody who had gone through that experience. I also spoke to my father. Now, my father's a Jamaican, a light-skinned Jamaican man. Yeah, who moved to Nigeria in the 60s. He's been in Nigeria about 50 years and has always felt, even he's been Nigerian longer than I've been alive, and yet he's always felt like an outsider. He's always been Mr. Barrett, the Jamaican in Nigeria.
Mm.
And so it was interesting speaking with him and learning his, you know, of his experiences, his feelings about that, you know, insider, outside, or outsider, inside, whichever way you want to put it. So I spoke with my father, and the book is actually dedicated to him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I also did call up a young white female journalist who just moved to Nigeria and had been tweeting about her experiences as a foreigner living in Nigeria. And when I had a conversation with her after writing the book, a few months later, I ended up marrying her.
Okay, that is quite a story.
So that didn't quite work out how I expected. Yeah. So I didn't actually speak with white people per se, even though my character is white. I didn't speak with prostitutes, even though I have such characters in the book. But then I spoke with other characters. So I also discussed ideas in the book with friends, with writers. But in the end, it was I take all the blame for whatever the book is. Okay. I can't share that with anybody. So for its failings and its successes, they are entirely my doing.
Okay, well, your imagination for this book is very much appreciated. So for the readers out there who haven't read Black Ass, but they have it on their table and they have it like next up to read, what messages or like key themes do you hope that they take away from it?
I wanted to start a discussion about a different way of seeing racism. And especially the book for me felt at the time I was writing it, I'd spent a lot of years writing subtle slice of life, character studies, short stories. And so when I decided to write a novel, I wanted to go big. I wanted to make a statement. As a writer, I wanted to take on a subject that was so challenging that even if, you know, I failed, I would have at least touched something, you know, done something different in that sense, you know, because at some point I started to feel like I knew how to write a short story, and so all I needed to do was just find the right subject. And I had, you know, all the, you know, the technical, you know, I knew how to deploy the technique to tell a story.
Yeah.
I mean, in many parts of the world, I wanted to show how this character, will be viewed in Nigerian society, to see if they disagreed that the way this character was treated reveal things about our society, about ourselves, and things that are important of increased conversations around the world about race. I mean, when I was writing this book, I was very much aware of the Black Lives Matter discussions going on in the States, of the way, you know, race had become a new, you know, become a re-energized topic in US. And so I wanted to, while not being an American, I mean, I'm a Nigerian African guy somewhere in Lagos, and so I didn't feel it was my place to go tweeting Black Lives Matter. You know, let the people who experience that, you know, fight that battle. But then I did feel like I could add my voice to the conversation by showing what is the largest Black country in the world and showing how race is viewed in this country. And so that, for me, was a kind of way of contributing to that discussion about race.
Oh, okay.
And so that felt like a major topic in the book, a major theme in the book. But at the same time, it was a love story to Lagos. This was the first piece of fiction I'd written that was set in Lagos. Before this book, I'd never written any fiction set in Lagos. And so this was, for me, trying to capture Lagos, the Lagos that I, you know, had experienced for at that time, 7 years. You know, so there was also that going on, among many other things.
Do you mind reading like a few words from your book just so people can get an idea of the type of writing that you like to express yourself in and a sense of like the character and a little bit of the plot?
Well, I'm going to read a really short excerpt. And so I'll read the opening paragraph of the book. Furo Wariboko, I woke this morning to find that dreams can lose their way and turn up on the wrong side of sleep. He was lying nude in bed. And when he raised his head a fraction, he could see his alabaster belly and his pale legs beyond, covered in fuzz that glinted bronze in the cold daylight pouring in through the open windows. He sat up with a sudden motion that swelled the panic in his stomach and spilled his hands into his lap. He stared at his hands, the pink lifelines in his palms, the shellfish-colored cuticles, the network of blue veins that ran from knuckle to wrist, more veins than he had ever noticed before. His hands were not black but white, same as his legs, his belly, all of him. He clenched his fists, squeezed his eyes shut, and sank onto the bed. Outside, the birds chirruped, short-piercing cries like mocking laughter.
Thank you. Now, I'm tempted to give away a piece of the book that people probably wouldn't realize initially, but the character and the title and he turns white all over except for one part of his body. And I'm dying to know, why did you pick that part of his body to remain the same color that he was born as?
I should mention that when writing the book, I discovered that that part of his anatomy would remain black. I discovered these two sentences before I wrote it down. You know, I hadn't planned it. It wasn't something that mapped out from the beginning. And so that came as a surprise to me. And thinking about it, because once I realized, wow, that was going to be a big thing in the book. I mean, it was so big, it became the title of the book.
Yeah.
I began to think, why was this happening? Why, you know, was I doing this? And I could give many reasons for that. It allowed me to discuss certain things, to engage with the popularity of bleaching creams among black people in my society.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to engage with that, you know, so it had that functional purpose in the book. But then apart from that, it hinted at the subconscious. It hinted at this part of himself, which was hidden from view, which no one could see. And yet he knew, you know, was part of him. Because we have to keep in mind that this character turns white, but he's still black, in the sense that his experiences, his voice, the way he speaks, his education, everything is Nigerian. And yet because of just his skin change, you know, his color changing, people begin to see him differently. But that doesn't change the way he sees himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is blackness, basically, hinted at that. I mean, it also helped me reveal character, because at some point in the book, people begin to wonder, oh, at what point does this character begin to see himself differently? And, you know, and so, I mean, it allowed me to play with things in the book. And it, also, I have to say, it was fun for this writer writing about it. And I hope it will be funny for the readers reading about it. The most important thing to take away from this is that when I sat down to write this book, I didn't plan to give him, you know, a blackness, but then it just felt right.
That's good that you were able to go with your gut and make a confident choice about it, and it made the book probably even better than you would have expected. Do you have any, like, tips, like one, two, or three tips for people who are trying to write their first novel, or they've mastered the art of short stories and they're trying to transition to that?
In the first place, don't force it. If you're a short story writer, I mean, fiction is fiction. In the end, fiction is fiction. As a professional writer, we all very quickly realize that if you want to make any money from your writing, the best chance of doing that is selling a novel. But that's the wrong reason to write fiction. I mean, there are many reasons to write a book. But if you're a serious writer, it helps that you can make money from it, and you hope to make money from it. But that's not the main reason for writing a story. You know, it's like me, the novelist, going to the poets and saying, you know, oh, you need to write novels because you'll never make money selling poetry. But no, we need poets. I need to read great poetry. And even though it's great poetry, you know, it's highly unlikely that any contemporary poet today will eke out a living from selling books of poetry. So that's the first thing. Write what you need to write. That being said, if you want to write a novel, write it because you have the sort of story that fits the novelistic form, or write it for the reason I wrote a novel, which was I wanted to challenge myself. I'll go out and say that I knew my first novel wouldn't be the greatest thing ever written, but I wanted to write something different. And anyone who reads my novel and reads my short story collections will see that difference, will see that this is someone trying something new. You know, a quote from a writer that I had on my desk for many years. Basically, it said, you know, fail again, fail better. And that's what I really believe writing is about, because there is no perfect book. That's not what fiction is about. It's not about creating a perfect book. You know, if I'm in Nigeria writing a novel, yes, I might want to write the next Jane Eyre, but I am Nigerian, so even if I'm writing generally, it has to engage with my society in some sense. So I won't go out and say I'm a political writer, but of course the politics of my day features in my book. And that's a good reason to write a book. And if that book, you feel the form of the novel is the best way to tell the story, you know, go with that. So it's a decision you have to make, but you have to keep watching yourself. You have to keep questioning why you have chosen that form. And if the only answer you can give yourself is because you want to sell copies, then you know, that for me is the wrong answer.
Okay.
Except you're, you know, John Grisham.
I wanted to ask you about your craft in terms of writing. Like, do you have a process or a way that you go about focusing on your next book or your next story or your next topic?
You know, making it up as I get older. I mean, it changes from book to book. I thought I had a method, and well, I've discovered that, you know, that method doesn't work for me. So it basically changes from book to book. What happened with my short story collection was that while I was still working on those short stories, I got the idea for my novel. And so once I finished the short story collection, I dove into the novel. So there was no break because I'm a full-time writer. So I have no other job other than writing. And so that was easy, you know, finish short stories, move into the novel, try something new, and spend the next 2 years doing that. After that, I felt like I hadn't been reading as much as I used to. Because I'd spent so many years writing. I'd basically been writing full time for 7 years at that point. And so I had a huge pile of books that I needed to, you know, to get into. And so I decided to take a break from writing for a while and deplete the books on my shelf. Well, that apparently was a mistake because by the time I'd finished reading, it got harder to get back into writing. I'd grown so accustomed to reading books and reading the entire internet, it got harder to write. And so I had to come up with a new system. One of the things I did, for example, was get off social media because I wasn't making out time to write. What makes someone like me different is that I'm a professional writer. I make a living from writing. And even if that doesn't pay the bills, I do it as a job. It is my love, but it's also my job. And if it's a job, I'm self-employed. I have no supervisors, you know, breathing down my neck, making me submit my books on time. So I have to be my own supervisor. I have to be my own boss. And in that sense, you have to, you know, look at your life and fashion out a system that allows you to do what you have to do, which is right. And when the book comes out, the next book comes out, nobody's really interested in what I went through, you know, what I had to do to bring it out. What do you want is you brought out a book, and then we're going to assess it for what it is.
Okay.
It's up to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that's very helpful, but it feels true to me.
No, that's good to know that you've been able to tweak and refine your process along the way with every project that you work on. And that's honest. I mean, you're not going to approach every book or every short story the same way. So you probably do have to do it a little bit differently or refine it each time.
Yeah.
No, so thank you for that. All right. Well, I think I have all the information that we would need for all of the fans of yours and the writers out there. Thank you so much for taking the time for this.
What do you know that I don't know? What fans are you talking about?
You've given away all your secrets.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you so much.